Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is America with Rich Valdez, powered by Politiweek.com.
And Rich Valdez is with us, former Christie administration official.
You worked for Chris Christie. You've been in politics, done a lot of public service stuff.
Rich Valdez, columnist now with the Washington Times.
This is America.
Richie V, you're on the air with the nation. The nation.
This is America with your host, Rich Valdez.
What's up, America? I am Rich Valdez, your liberty-loving Latino amigo right here 17 blocks away from Madison Square Garden here in New York City. And newsflash, Biden has been punked again by Putin. Biden saying, I'm going to tell him what I want him to know. We're going to get into that later, maybe. We'll see what happens. But relax. Look, I know many of you were afraid for President Biden's health after he was so close to so many of the world's leaders at the G7. But now we know that hydroxychloroquine is effective for COVID. So take it easy. He's got the Trump vaccine. He can take the hydroxychloroquine. Joe Biden, va estar bien. He's going to be A-OK. Don't worry about the president. Whew. That's a load off for all of us. Now, it's going to take a lot more than hydroxychloroquine for Biden to grow a set and stand up to Vladimir Putin. And all of these ransom attacks that are happening on our systems, our supply chain. But that's just one thing. Then we got, oh yeah, good old AOC. She is sick and tired. AOC is sick and tired. And she was on TV today. And I want you to hear just a little bit of this clip of her whining.
You know, I think that to say that, and I believe that to assert that she was equating these two entities when she was speaking about the ICC investigations in which all four parties are being investigated for instances of war crimes. I believe to assert that this was not a generous interpretation whatsoever. And we know that, these very intense news cycles, which, by the way, started, this whole hubbub started with right-wing news outlets taking what she said out of context.
Andito, poor thing, AOC, poor baby. She's sick and tired of people coming at her homegirl, Ilhan Omar. And you remember Ilhan Omar, of course. She's the one that referenced New Yorkers and what happened in the tragic 9/11 attacks as this.
CARE was founded after 9/11 because they recognized that some people did something.
Oh boy, some people did something. Yes, now, not only did some people do something, because when it was terrorists attacking the United States, that was some people doing something. But when it comes to the United States being an ally of Israel, now she decides to lump the United States in with all of the other terrorist groups. Check this out.
I know you oppose the court's investigation in both Palestine and in Afghanistan. I haven't seen any evidence in either cases that domestic courts can and will prosecute alleged war crimes and crimes against humanity. And I would emphasize that in Israel and Palestine, this includes crimes committed by both the Israeli security forces and Hamas. In Afghanistan, it includes crimes committed by the Afghan national government and the Taliban.
All right. Well, I'll tell you something that I'm sick and tired of. I am sick and tired of Ilhan Omar. How about that? I'm sick and tired of her friend AOC. Let me take that back. AOC is somebody I would really like to engage in a conversation with because I think she whines a lot. She's always complaining about something. But you know what? She's never willing to come on this program or any other program where she might be challenged because her ideas are radical and they're weak and they don't stand up to scrutiny. Now, you know what's interesting is a couple of years ago, literally 2 years ago today or 2 years ago yesterday, I was marching in the Puerto Rican parade with the Guardian Angels, a safety patrol group here in New York City with Curtis Lee, with their founder. And I saw AOC and I said, you know, I'm going to walk over there. She was marching behind a banner that said Todos Juntos, all together. Now, you may have heard me share this story, but bear with me, because it was, I think, June 9th or June 10th of 2019. And I said, I walked over real fast. I was with my teenage daughter at the time. And I crossed the street on Fifth Avenue. I go over and she stopped to greet supporters. She's shaking hands along the sidelines, along the barricade. And I said, Congresswoman, hi, Rich Valdez. And she just looked at me, kind of squinted, gave me this evil side eye look, turned around, literally pulled her hand back, jerked it away from the person she was talking to, and started jogging across the street. She sprinted to the other side of Fifth Avenue to get away from saying hello to me. Now, I don't even know if she knew who I was, but I'm pretty sure she did. And the reason why is because she later acknowledged this whole thing by tweeting out, or her team, her spokesperson, tweeted out the F-bomb and added me on Twitter. Yeah, that happened. But then they realized, we can't do that, because if we shout this guy out, then we acknowledge him, and that's not right. Delete the tweet. Delete the tweet. So they did. They were quickly, you know, deleting the tweet. Problem was, first, her running away from me, that got caught by the New York Post. And that was a huge story in the New York Post of AOC running away from me. And there's video of it. It's on my Twitter if you want to check it out. She's running across the street as I go to shake her hand. And number two, The Washington Times. Yes, one of the few and faithful papers in the swamp, they decided to get a screen capture. And they got the what the F Rich Valdez blah 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 tweet from her spokesperson, and they published that, and it was a funny thing. So you know what, AOC, we know that you like to dodge things. We know that you're afraid of standing up to people that challenge you. I don't want to be rude. I just want to ask questions. But that's how people are. So, you know, I was hosting the Mark Levin show this Friday, and of course, AOC should have joined me there, but no, she chose not to. She likes to dodge the issues, just like she's dodging a lot of other issues. And I had reached out to her office a million times. She never responds. Now, what I want to get to is this. She says to her grandma, or about her grandma's house in Puerto Rico, she says, oh, the roof came in because Trump hasn't given us any money, X, Y, and Z. And then it comes out in the news. Her own aunt, sí, la tía de ella, she says, no, mija, that's not the case. This had everything to do with corrupt. I don't want to use the word corrupt. I'm going to use ineffective. Ineffective governance on the island of Puerto Rico, because they were ousted, right? The people marched on the state house, the governor's mansion in Puerto Rico, and they got the governor out. And then they had an interim governor, and now they have a new governor. So, I mean, that to me is democracy in action. But that's what they did. But AOC falsely accused President Trump, who gave $20 billion, 13 and 7, one for infrastructure and the rest for aid. Now, I'm not saying that Trump, you know, didn't hold on to that money. He did, because, again, we knew that this government was ineffective and that there may be susceptibility to corruption. So was Trump supposed to just hand over a bunch of money when we saw, when we sent all that aid over initially, bottles of water and food just started rotting? Of course not. He had to be judicious, which is something that I think President Trump always was. But the media loves to spin it in a different way. What's interesting is when you're ineffective, like AOC and her weak argument, people will always come at you with whining, and I want this and I want that, and but here's the problem, and you said this, and you, but they can never really make a case for themselves. And by that, I mean, one of AOC's acolytes, no doubt, and again, I'm just saying that tongue in cheek, but somebody who doesn't agree with me, called in while I was doing the Mark Levin show. And that person wanted to challenge me because I made a statement and I said, look, there's no doubt that there's racism in the world, but I don't think that there are entire systems that are systemically racist anymore. I believe we tore down redlining. I believe we tore down Jim Crow. We tore down so many institutionally racist systems. But he wanted to push back on that. Listen to this. Anybody who has an opposing opinion always gets to the front of the line. And we've got Max in Washington, D.C. that wants to share his thoughts. And this is an open platform for you, Max. Go for it.
Hey, thanks for taking the call. I'm sitting here. And first, before I say anything on my opinions, I wanted to clarify your comments on systemic racism. You said earlier that you understand racism can exist, but not necessarily systemic racism. Do you think that systemic racism as a concept just flat out does not exist?
Can you point to an example of systemic racism today?
Well, first off, I'm just talking
so
about
a no.
the concept exists in a society.
Are
all.
You able to
so,
answer
yes,
the question?
I can, actually.
Go for it.
Yes. So I think redlining...
Is redlining a process we use today?
No, it's not. It's
can
not
you point to an example of systemic racism today?
I think the effects of systemic racism, such as redlining, does carry on.
Give you 10 seconds. Can you point to an example of systemic racism today?
To build generational wealth, it's to buy a home. And if you are forcing groups of people based on race, based on religion...
Your example is that people can't save money?
It's that the system of redlining has prevented people from buying
a home. Is redlining a system we use today? Stop being a clown and answer the question.
I'm saying no, but that...
All right, so
you
answer the question, no.
Point,
which systemically racist system do you want to point out today?
I think you can also look at policing. You can look at...
So you're saying policing today is systemically racist?
Yes.
How so?
If you look at the demographics of police forces in communities of color and how oftentimes...
I'm in New York. More than half of the police here are BIPOC. So you're saying it's black indigenous people of color that are being systemically racist towards other black indigenous people of color. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that if you look at police forces...
It's a yes or no. It's not that difficult, Max. I'm trying to talk to you here. I'm trying to have a conversation, but you're getting circuitous.
So you're trying to have, you're saying you're trying to have a
no,
conversation.
No, I am trying. I'm asking you a question, and you're failing to answer it. And the reason you fail to answer it is because you don't have an answer. You want to call here and say, this is this, and that is that, and we've got this, and blah, blah, blah. And you want to cry from the rooftops, but you can't make a single example, and you live in the past.
See, you're talking about how you want to have conversations, and you're not letting me make my point. And my point is that if you look at communities of color, they're often not policed by people from within those communities. So,
all right. Well, again, I made an example. The biggest police force in the United States of America, if not the whole world, is more than half minority. This is a community of color, New York City.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Widespread evidence, multiple examples. Can you answer that question?
You said that communities of color don't have police departments that mirror them, which again is in and of itself is stupid. That's like saying I'm turning on the radio and they better have a Puerto Rican host that was born in Brooklyn and loves America or I'm not listening because you're racist. Your point is based on nothing.
No, my again, if you look at redlining, you look at...
Why would I look at redlining if it was ended by a matter of law 50 years ago?
If you look at... Just because it was outlawed a long time ago...
Okay, so that means it's illegal, that it doesn't exist.
The system doesn't exist anymore, but its effects still do. It's like how a hurricane can pass through a city and not have the eye of the storm over the city
anymore. Yeah, Ronald Reagan existed once, and he doesn't, and we still feel the effects of his legacy, but that doesn't mean that Reagan exists today. The points that you're making are just, quite frankly, asinine. I think we give you one more shot to name a racist system today.
I would say suspensions in schools. If you look at how white...
So school suspensions are in and of themselves a system?
The punitive
school discipline is an entire system that's racist? I think you don't even believe that one. Thanks for your call. The music means we got to go. This is what happens, folks. You try to have a conversation with someone. They just want to hear the sound of their own voice. Maybe Max should get into talk radio, start a podcast. Keep it locked right there. I'm Rich Valdez in for the great one. All right, so that was just a clip. I had a lot of fun with Max, I'm not going to lie. It's like when you buy a dog a bone and he runs around the house. You know, I had a little fun. I tried to be nice. My approach is always to be nice. I want to win a friend. At the end of this, I hope he would have said, you know what, Rich, you're right. Let's go out for a beer. I would have said, sure, no problem. But that wasn't quite the case. Anyway, I'm going to get into the media and a couple of more things. Keep it locked right there. I am Rich Valdez. This is America.
This is America.
We're all part of your community.
We all play a role in keeping our community safe.
So protect your everyday.
If you see something suspicious, say something to local authorities.
This is America.
Para inglés o prima número dos. Para Rich Valdez. Y esto es America. Ahora.
All right, what's up, America? I am Rich Valdez, Valdez with an S on all the social media. Get at me at Rich Valdez on Parler, Twitter, Instagram, wherever you like. By the way, when I did the Mark Levin show on Friday, what was cool about it was this is the first time I've ever really done this for two full segments. I live streamed the program on YouTube. So if you want to check that out, YouTube/Rich Valdez, you could take a look at me doing that monologue in the first segment and the second segment. But what was cool about it was that I wore a shirt that has my face on it that says Rich Valdez. We now have Rich Valdez, This Is America gear, and the merch is available. If you want to check it out, go to my Twitter or any of my social media. You can click on the link. You'll see a picture of me wearing the shirt with like a white blazer, and they're really cool shirts. I want to tell you something about the shirt. The shirt is cotton, American-made cotton. Not only that, they are fully printed right here in a factory in New Jersey in the United States on a shirt. The shirt is called the USA Strong Shirt from Bella Canvas. That's the shirt that we use. We're making sure that we're using American stuff because we want to do the right thing. Now, check that out. I also want to bring your attention to the Mothership website, my main website. Whenever I'm doing anything other than the podcast, if you want to check me out on Newsmax, where I appear a couple of times a month, you want to go to richvaldez.com. That's Rich Valdez with an S, therichvaldez.com. That's where everything happens. You can see it there. You can actually listen to the first episode of This Is America. And I challenge you, anybody's going on a trip, a long trip, and you actually love the sound of my voice as much as I do, you can listen to as many episodes as you like. There's literally hundreds of them. Now, the media is what I want to get into. The media doesn't report things the way they ought to be reported. And right now, they're mad at the AG Merrick Garland over the Department of Justice's attempt to investigate leaked information. Now, this was an investigation that started under the previous Attorney General, Barr. Now, Trump always said that Schiff should be investigated for leaking because people said that he was a leaky faucet. Most of the leaking was done by Swalwell. We know that. He even leaked to I don't know if she's a prostitute or is she a spy, but Fang Fang from China. He got caught out there with that one. And their staff is known for leaking this stuff. But CNN attorney David Vigilante just recently announced that he was under a gag order and could not even say that CNN reporters were being investigated for this leak investigation. Now, Barbara Starr, she's a CNN correspondent that deals with foreign affairs. She was one of the prime targets of the investigation. I don't know what came out of it because, again, the whole thing was hush-hush, like my buddy Curtis says, hush-hush, mush-mush. But we don't know. We don't know the whole deal here. But today happens to be the 50th anniversary of the Pentagon Papers, which were leaked and then published by the New York Times, who was also under a gag order, just like the Washington Post. And this is one of those things where people say, you know, Edward Snowden, just as an example, was he a patriot or was he a traitor? Did he do the right thing to sound the alarm that the government is overstepping their bounds? Or did he leak sensitive information and hurt the country's national security? This is one of those debates. Honestly, I wake up some days, I'm on one side of the coin, other days I'm on the other. One thing I can tell you is Obama didn't pardon him and Trump didn't pardon him. So something tells me there's more to the story than we tend to hear. Anyway, so a bunch of media executives are going to be meeting with Attorney General Merrick Garland to make sure the government doesn't do this again. How dare you? They're looking to change the rules to protect sensitive government records. Now, there was the CNN White House bureau chief, Sam Feist. He was on with Brian Stelter, and I was watching a clip of that on the television. And he was just basically saying, look, you know, like the media typically. And again, while I may be part of the media, I didn't go to J school. I'm not that kind of media. right? And this guy was. And he was saying, you know, we have, this is egregious. Now listen, if the media really was the watchdog of the people coming out saying this is wrong and this is wrong and this is wrong, I would have so much respect for them because I'd say, you know what? Doesn't matter who's in the White House. These guys are calling it like it is, making sure that we, the people, have a media that's active and protecting us, blowing the whistle when it needs to be blown. But instead, it's kind of like we have a media that says, oh, that's Trump. We hate his guts. Oh, that's Biden. Oh, just let it go. Just let it go. And it's because of that double standard. Nobody wants to hear what they have to say. And including Kamala Harris, right? Univision, the media of Univision, and this is part of a montage that we have on Harris, but she sat down with a bunch of different media because, you know, she was in Guatemala, and she got asked a really tough question. Why haven't you been to the border? She fell apart. I want you to listen to her stutter and stammer and just fumble her way through this worse than I just did, and even worse than AOC did in that earlier cut we played. Check this out.
We've been to the border. We've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
I haven't been to Europe.
Listen, I've been to the border before. I will go again. But when I'm in Guatemala dealing with root causes, I think we should have a conversation about what's going on in Guatemala.
Okay. Can you commit right now that you will indeed visit the U.S.-Mexico border, and will you do it soon?
Jeremy, let me tell you something. Yes, I will, and I have before.
I've said I'm going to go to the border. And
when are you going to the border, Vice President?
The administration has asked. I'm not finished. I've said I'm going to the border.
Oh, snap. I'm not finished. No te ponga de fresca que no termine. AOC. Kamala Harris, who I like to call que mala eres, que mala eres. That means how bad she is in Spanish. Vice President Kamala Harris really took quite a little bit of sassitude with the Univision reporter, Univision reporter, who was really just asking her, why haven't you been? When are you coming? What's the deal? What's good? To me, that's a legitimate question because, you know, every time there's a hurricane, the politicians show up once the dust has settled and they're like, wow, we're touring the area. We're assessing the damage. And people are like, oh, we love you. Thank you for coming here in our time of need. And they come with maybe a bullhorn. They walk around. They give some hugs. And they're like, we're going to help you. We're going to help. But instead, Kamala Harris, she doesn't even show up. She's just like, yeah, I've been to the border. I've even been to Cancun. I haven't been to Europe, though. I haven't been there. She's a real sangana for saying that. But she made herself look stupid. And the media finally is holding her accountable because they're realizing, damn, the Republicans were right. How could that be? These people are turning a blind eye. We didn't see this type of thing under Trump. You got to see how people are just rolling in. I just saw a video today. Entire groups, people, they just help them in. They just help them right in because this is Biden who initially said, I'm not telling them not to come. Then his Secretary of Homeland Security, Mayorkas, what did he say? He said, I'm not saying don't come. I'm just saying don't come now. This is months later. They're talking about 100,000 people a month coming through the border. And now Kamala Harris says, I'm here to say, don't come, don't come. Which, once she got back stateside, she kind of walked back. But this is the media for you. This is the same media that...
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Just will cover up anything that they don't care about. It's such a joke. For example, CNN. They welcome back Jeffrey Toobin after his Mastergate scandal. Right? His personally pleasurable scandal on Zoom. Now listen, Benny Johnson put a funny meme on Instagram and he said, this took a lot of courage for Mr. Toobin. He should give himself a hand. I thought, Jeffrey Toobin, what a jerk off. But anyway, I want you to hear this clip. Check this out.
Let's bring in CNN chief legal analyst Jeffrey Toobin to talk about this and more. Hi, Jeffrey.
Hello, Allison.
It's been a while.
It has been a while, indeed.
I feel like we should address what's happened in the months since we've seen you, since some of our viewers may not know what has happened. So I guess I'll recap. I'll do the honors.
Help yourself.
Okay. In October, you were on a Zoom call with your colleagues from the New Yorker magazine. Everyone took a break for several minutes, during which time you were caught masturbating on camera. You were subsequently fired from that job after 27 years of working there. And you since then have been on leave from CNN. Do I have all that right?
You got it all right, sad to say.
Okay, so let's start there.
Okay.
To quote Jay Leno, what the hell were you thinking?
Well, obviously, I wasn't thinking very well or very much. And it was something that was inexplicable to me. I think one point, I wouldn't exactly say in my defense, because nothing is really in my defense. I didn't think I was on the call. I didn't think other people could see me.
You thought that you had turned off your camera?
Correct. I thought that I had turned off the Zoom call. Now, that's not a defense. This was deeply moronic and indefensible. But, I mean, that is part of the story. And, you know, I have spent the 7 subsequent months, miserable months in my life, I can certainly confess, trying to be a better person. I mean, in therapy, trying to do some public service, working in a food bank, which I certainly am going to continue to do.
Well, if you did all that, then everything is forgiven, right, Jeff? I mean, because the guy rubs one out while he thinks he's on a break and his camera's still going. Now he's feeding the homeless. He's working at a food bank. Somehow, how does that even equate? Listen, I don't understand. If this happens to anybody, one of the things that you want to do is you want to say, listen, hey, I decided to do something stupid and I got caught on tape. My bad. Right? Trump gets caught saying whatever to Billy Bush and he says, listen, locker room talk, folks, locker room talk. Why not follow that lead? Instead, Toobin's here. Well, you know, folks, I'm now feeding the homeless because I like to rub my Johnson. That's right. President Johnson needed a massage during this Zoom meeting. The guy is ridiculous. Camerata, more ridiculous for even entertaining this stupidity. I lose more credibility for her, right? She's done for me. Not that she really had much of a lifeline before this, but I mean, I think this looks like a rehearsed, choreographed, propagandistic lie and sham. The whole thing. It just looks fake, phony fraud, like Bob Grant used to say. That's my thought on that. And what's interesting is there's a couple of people out there that still have some credibility. NBC News, headline by Marcy Bianco. She's a culture critic. She says Jeffrey Toobin's return to CNN as a legal analyst on Thursday was a master class in how to evade accountability. Good for you. USA Today says the problem with Jeffrey Toobin's apology. That's their headline. CNN legal analyst, this is a little bit from that article. CNN legal analyst Jeffrey Toobin returned to the network Thursday after being fired from his job at New Yorker last fall for masturbating on a Zoom call with his coworkers. His first act back at work, thank God it wasn't another act of masturbation, but it was to apologize to the public and the family and his coworkers. Now, some viewers have suggested that Toobin's return was an apt reminder that a rich white man can do anything and not lose anything. Journalist Megyn Kelly tweeted, "There is not a woman alive who could have done anything close to what Jeffrey Toobin did, not that one would, and have kept her job." What a disgusting, incestuous boys' club this is. And she said, she's so damn tired of it. Let me tell you, I'd rather listen to Megyn Kelly complain about what she's sick and tired of than listen to what AOC says she's sick and tired of. And they go on to talk about cancel culture and cowardice and all this stuff. Bottom line is, the guy did something stupid. I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I've never done anything stupid. I've never been caught doing that. But my point is, people get caught doing stupid things. You take it on the chin, you move on. Now, some of you are saying he already did that. I'll say, I don't think so. I think, you know, maybe he did, but CNN is the culprit. CNN didn't have to parade him around and create this dog and pony show to bring him back. They could have done the right thing and just said, you know what, this probably isn't appropriate. Or maybe Jeff Zucker, he could have came out and said, you know what, we believe in second chances and we're going to give Jeffrey a second chance. Punto y final. Not this stupid show and sham to insult the intelligence of the viewers. That's why I get upset with the media. And, you know, just one final point that I want to punctuate. When it was last year and it was Trump, and it had nothing to do with any of this stupid stuff, he took a picture holding a Bible in front of a church. It was the biggest thing ever. And we talked about this already, but I want to punctuate it because why? They said that Trump used tear gas to clear a park and that Jim Acosta was shocked, right? I heard Jim Acosta say, I'm shocked at all of this. They're whitewashing the IG report. And I think to myself, shocked at what? Shocked at what? They put out the report and even the Democrats, the IG that's there now serving Biden said, this had nothing to do with Trump. And they didn't use tear gas. It was pepper spray. And the whole thing was, we did that. He happened to come out because we were putting up the fence and he wanted to do his photo op. Had nothing to do. We didn't clear it for him. Bottom line, something he said, and they said he was a liar back then. That's today's media. And that's what gets me disgusted. Anyway, keep it locked right there because straight ahead, I want to talk about what happened this weekend. A couple of final thoughts before we go. Keep it locked. I'm Rich Valdez. This is America.
This is America.
We're all part of your community.
We all play a role in keeping our community safe.
So protect your everyday.
If you see something suspicious, say something to local authorities.
This is America. He's making podcasting great again. This is America with Rich Valdez.
What's up, America? Welcome back. Rich Valdez, Valdez with an S, at Rich Valdez on all the social media. And please get at me on social media. I want to hear your commentary. Listen, if you got a good critique, I love to entertain that, as you can tell. I like to go back and forth with people. I believe in the exchange of ideas. I believe mine are better than yours, and I'm willing to put them to the test. So do that at Rich Valdez on Parler, at Rich Valdez on Instagram, wherever you want, and we will exchange some ideas. But I want to talk about criminal race theory. No, not critical race theory. I'm renaming it criminal race theory because I think the whole thing is criminal in and of itself. But before I get into that, you know, you don't have to be the CEO of a Fortune 500 company to experience what small business offers. You know, it's something like 80% of small businesses fail within their first year. But that experience in and of itself will make you better. It makes a change in your life. It reminds me of a caller that called into Mark Levin's show on Friday, and it's a positive call, and I want to share it with you. Check this out. In there, let's go to Irving in Ashburn, Virginia. What's going on, Irving?
Yes, hello. How are you?
Wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah, so I'm also a young Latino conservative.
Well, welcome to the party.
It's truly embarrassing.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you. It's truly embarrassing that we have a president like Biden right now representing us. Especially young Latino conservatives, because we come, for example, if they try, liberals and progressives say that they are oppressed, that they are the oppressed peoples of this country. But truly, I would say people who came here legally through the immigration system that is truly broken in this country, they're the actually oppressed ones.
Yeah, well, let me ask you a question, Irving, because you mentioned you were Latino, so that means you fall into a category of people that the squad would call brown, right? Because they live their lives through the lens of racism and everything has to be black or brown. And they talk about Tupac. Nope, hold on. I got that wrong. It's not Tupac. It's BIPOC, Black Indigenous People of Color. So as a BIPOC yourself, Irving, as a Hispanic, how oppressed do you feel today?
Not at all. Because
well, hold on a second. Every time I turn on CNN, MSNBC, because I follow the news, I like to see what's going on with our friends on the left. And they told me that if you're brown or black, that you are oppressed. So how could you say you're not feeling oppressed?
Because they're liars. that's what we need to start doing, especially the younger generation. They are the silent majority. They truly are. You can ask any, for example, college students nowadays. They do not accept the indoctrination. Of course, accept in like liberal cities like California, New York, all those places. It's truly just going to waste. And it's a shame that we have people like that governing our country. So I feel like what we need to do, especially as younger peoples, if there's any younger people listening to this like radio like this or conservative radio, we truly have to start doing our research, because it's a shame that there's just so much going on.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that. I mean, I wish there were lots more younger people listening to conservative radio. I think it's one of the best things that I ever did as a young man. But I want to ask you this, because you mentioned that, you know, people that come here the right way and that you were Hispanic. So what is it that you think is so great about America that you aren't oppressed?
The freedom to make money. You see all these policies that we try to implement in, for example, Central America and the rest of the world, policies that have just failed. Like foreign aid, stuff like that. And it's turned those countries, excuse my language, a hellhole, because people don't have the freedom to make the money the way they want to. And in America, that is honestly such a blessing, because you can make money being, for example, a musician in the arts.
Yeah.
Or a laborer, like, for example, an HVAC technician or a plumber. There's endless bounds of money-making, and that's how we truly live, which is the pursuit of life, liberty, and happiness, and privacy as well.
Well, amen, Irvin. Thank you for that call. You know what? This kid had it spot on. You could hear in his voice, very young guy, and he was passionate. He was genuine. He was just telling the truth, and I love that just regular people that decide to pick up the phone and call into the Mark Levin Show, and it's such an honor to fill in for Levin, and that's why I'm bringing you these little clips. I'm not breaking my arm patting myself on the back, although I normally do, but I'm pretty dexterous, so I don't have to break my arm when I pat myself on the back. But I did it really to show you that callers from different parts of the country have such divergent views, and we're willing to have this big conversation, and I think that's a real blessing. And his story, he mentioned what he feels is the right thing here in America. What makes it so great for him was the ability to earn money, this economic liberty that we have that's not tied down by the policies of AOC if she had her way. And it makes me think of a buddy of mine, Murdoch. Murdoch is a rapper. I met him in Teaneck, but he's from Belize, and he's back in Belize now taking care of his elderly parents. But he's living the American dream because he saw the value in coming to the United States. His parents saw the value. They raised him here. He served in the Marine Corps here, and he fought for a country he wasn't even born in. But he's a hip-hop musician today. He sees the value of the free market because business is business and money talks. And if he can make records that people want to buy, he can make a living. So now he lives in this island paradise in Belize, and he makes music. And I think to myself, that's what so many people want to do. They just want to have economic liberty. They just want to make it. And on Saturday, I met with a group of conservatives in Bergen County. And this is kind of the tongue-in-cheek questions that I had for the caller, Irving, about critical race theory. Or I should say criminal race theory. And I met with a group of conservatives in Bergen County, New Jersey. And, you know, also known as where Eric Adams actually lives, you know, close to Fort Lee. And one woman, Lourdes, she's a American of Cuban descent. She told a story, because she's a realtor, about a developer that looked at a property that she was showing and freaked out when he saw that the person living there had a copy of Hunter Biden's book on their nightstand. And he said, if that's the kind of people that live here, I'm out of here. And that happened in Bergen County. I thought that was really funny. And they were together. That was a joke that she made to the group. And it was real, though. It was a real story. But they were there for the purpose of organizing to stop critical, or as I'm going to call it from now on, criminal race theory. And this criminal race theory, I think, is the new Trump immigration issue. And what I mean by that is back in 2015, immigration was a problem just like it is today. I don't know if you remember, there were caravans. It was all over TV, like a war. Any channel you turned on, there were, you know, a mile-long caravans that were coming in. And Trump got elected, and that stopped. And then he said, we're putting up walls, we're putting up walls. In fact, now, even Governor Abbott is now saying he's putting up a wall because the federal government has failed to act. Now, people think, oh, you can't do that because, well, you know what? He, just like any other state, can say, I have become a sanctuary state. I'm going to use nullification, right? They nullify federal law to take on federal jurisdiction to make it their problem, like immigration. New Jersey state doesn't have the authority under any constitution to say, we are going to nullify federal law, which covers the jurisdiction of immigration, and we're going to accept immigrants here. They don't have that right. It's not legally sound, but they do it anyway. So Governor Abbott has decided to take the same approach and say, well, we are going to defend ourselves as a state because I'm going to put up the remaining part of the wall. So kudos to him. But the issue of immigration, to me, is a wedge issue, just like critical race theory, because you know what? This is getting moms out of their seats and saying, you know what? Yeah, that's enough. Basta. I'm not dealing with this anymore. And I think when you have issues like that, these wedge issues, this is what brings about change. Now, I just wanted to give you a quick update, a headline I'm looking at. It says here that a Virginia judge has now reversed the decision and ordered that the gym teacher, Mr. Tanner, I'm forgetting his last name, forgive me, must be reinstated from his suspension because he had objected to certain policies. So good for him. And there's another story here. A teen unloading on a Virginia school board, telling them your proposed policies are dangerous and rooted in sexism. And I don't have that audio for you today, but I will have it on the Tuesday edition of This Is America. So make sure you come back. Now, as Americans, I believe that we need to stick together. And there was a New York Islanders game the other day, a hockey game in New York, and they showed how they stuck together when the woman that came out to sing the national anthem, I know you've heard this, but you know what? It just brings such joyful emotion to the soul because it doesn't matter what political party you're from. You should be able to get behind something like this when everybody started belting out the national anthem. Check this out.
And now, please join Nicole Revive as we sing together our national anthem.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed?
That is just absolutely amazing. It's great to see patriots getting together. And listen, America is great. Don't listen to idiots like Essential Andy Cuomo from the Essential Andy Cuomo podcast, the governor of New York, or the crooked politicians in D.C. that are confiscating and redistributing your tax dollars. America is great. And, you know, every now and again, and we're going to wrap, but I want to share a thought with you because somebody sent me a note. And if you want to send a note, go to richvaldez.com, Rich Valdez with an S. The richvaldez.com is our flagship website. And they use the email rich section or contact us, whatever it's called. And he asked a question about foreign aid and why we give so much of it away. And I said, look, in my opinion, foreign aid is essentially a bribe so that the U.S. can do X, Y, and Z in a given country, or so that that given country won't jump into bed with our enemies. But some politicians see this as an opportunity to send, for example, $40 million so they can maybe skim half of that back for themselves in a kickback deal with that same foreign government. Kind of like crooked cops that may shake down drug dealers. That type of thing. Now, there is a few good people in Congress, but most of them need to be replaced by average American citizens like you who love this country. Sadly, most people are afraid to run for office and are experts at making excuses for why they can't run for office. Kind of like making excuses for losing rather than making excuses for winning. But we don't have to look too far because Trump did exactly that. He showed us how to win. And we also saw it recently, going back to the siphoning of money. $1.9 trillion. And guess what? $400 billion now are missing. They believe to have been funneled through unemployment funds to China, to Russia. I mean, this is incredible, but this is what we get in these blue state bailout packages. Shoot, I'm about to get in line and try and get me some of this PPP pandemic money because I didn't make as much money as I could have in the pandemic. But you've got people getting $27,000 in New York if they were in jail at the time the money came out. $27,000 if you can prove that you were an illegal alien, which shouldn't be that hard because you don't really get a paper saying, hey, you're an illegal alien. $27,000 from the state of New York because of that Biden cash grab and redistribution. So listen, fighting corruption, the point here, fighting corruption is important at every single level of government, whether it's the White House, whether it's the State House in New York or any other state. And that's why we have to support candidates running for office. We have to get involved with local campaigns. We have to do those things. Now, listen, as a broadcaster, I don't really get into the business of endorsing people and whatever. But as a private individual, I happily get behind certain campaigns. And that's why I've been helping out Curtis Sliwa. That's why I've endorsed Vicky Palladino, because these people, I think, are the right people for the job here in New York. They're going to make America a little bit better right here in New York City. Anyway, you keep it locked until the next one, because we're going to have a great show on Tuesday. But hasta la próxima. I am Rich Valdez, and I share this admonition with you. If we stand for nothing, we will fall for anything. And the only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for good people like you to sit there and do nothing. So don't do nothing. Do something. Get out there and help a campaign. Make some phone calls and do something that's going to make your immediate neighborhood that much better. I'm Rich Valdez, and this is America.
This is America.